And I think the whole reason I was in business was never to get huge. My focus was purely on providing a really great level of service. So we got to the point at one stage where we didn't want to grow anymore, but we still had clients coming to us. So obviously we don't want to go backwards, but we ended up putting our fees up because we wanted to be able to offer a really good service.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking, and strategies to elevate your results. For more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier for your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. And to get new episodes of Elevate directly to your inbox, sign up at eliteagent.com/subscribe.
Well, good morning. It's Steve Carroll here, sitting in for Samantha McLean at the Elevate podcast studio here in the Gold Coast. And with me today, we've got Lauren Robinson from Brisbane. And a quick introduction about Lauren. So she was the founder of Rental Results in Brisbane, a very successful property management company, which she started at the young age of 29. And we'll be diving into a little bit of that. She's also the author of a book called Rented, which helps rookie investors get started. And I actually purchased that off Amazon last night, Lauren, as I was Googling you and trying to find out a little bit more about what you're about. And also, what a lot of people don't know is when I went to the UK this year with my wife for 5 months, we asked you to look after our property and find tenants for us. Why did we ask you, Lauren? I know a lot of property managers. Well, you've got such a great reputation and our family home, we wanted to put it into safe hands. So welcome to the podcast, Lauren.
Oh, thank you so much, Steve. What an introduction.
Yeah, that was quite good, actually.
Yeah, well done.
I say it myself. So I'm standing here. Normally, you'd have Samantha McLean. She is on her way to New Zealand. She's got a big AI-powered agent roadshow that she's running in New Zealand, helping real estate agents get equipped with AI and the abundance of opportunities that obviously will come the way of real estate agents and real estate businesses. And that's a lovely segue into my icebreaker question. If I was to ask ChatGPT to tell me three interesting things about you, Lauren, what would ChatGPT tell me?
Yes, what a good question. I guess the first thing would be I met my best friend when I was 4. So I've had the same best friends for 36 years. I'm now 40. So we met in kindergarten.
Lovely.
Another one would be, I guess I have a fear of heights. So I've skydived once, never again. So that's sort of my fear. And then the other thing would be absolutely love real estate. So every weekend I'm looking at auction results. I'd be happy to go and look at properties every day of the week if I could, which my husband's a builder and he can't stand looking at property, but that's something that I just love looking at.
And you're also a surfer, I believe.
Oh, look, we have 2 kids now. So no, not really. I do have a surfboard. We've got about 4 or 5 surfboards in our garage. They don't get much use these days, but yes, I have surfed in the past, not so much anymore.
Excellent. Well, so you've just celebrated big 4-0. I've just celebrated a big birthday that doesn't begin with a 4, but ends in a 0. And for most of my career, Lauren, I've worked for big corporate organizations. And that's a bit of a comfort blanket because you always know that you get 5 weeks holiday a year. You always get paid on the 15th of each month. Super drops into your super at the end of the year and so on and so forth. So I have great admiration for young entrepreneurs who set up business at such a young age. And you started Rental Results at the age of 29. Was that a deliberate strategy to move into run your own business, or was that by accident? How did it come about?
Yeah, I think I definitely fell into that. So I've been working in the industry for 11 years and I worked, obviously, I worked for an amazing business called Pro Rentals, run by Andrew Reese and James Chalmers. I worked there for 8 years and then they sold the business. And so at the same time, I was also starting a business degree and I finished that a few years later, had a couple of different people approach me. Like one was a developer, another one was a commercial agent wanting to start rent rolls. And I definitely fell into it. I was very nervous to start a business. And I think if I knew now what I did then, I would have done it earlier.
Earlier than 29?
I would have, yeah.
Yeah, so just expand on that. So why would you have jumped into running your own show earlier? I thought you were going to say that you would do it everything differently, but that threw me a bit.
Yeah, I don't. I guess when I look back, I think the earlier you start, the better, really, because I was working really hard. It was almost like our own little business within a business at Pro Rentals. So for those of you who have read The Flight of Pro Rentals, we had, I guess, a commission split where we were earning 30% so of the asset or what the income of the property management. So I think, yeah, I definitely would have started earlier if I'd known it wasn't as hard as I imagined. And I guess when I started with the developer, I went to him with a 40-page business plan, which is what I learned at uni. And he just sort of looked at me like, no, I'm not even going to read that. He definitely taught me there's more than one way to do something.
And so for listeners to this podcast who are thinking of taking that bold move and setting up a business, what are the pitfalls do you have to be aware of? What advice would you share?
I think definitely speaking to an accountant and a solicitor initially to make sure the structure of your business is set up properly. So that's probably the first thing I would suggest. Getting mentors. So I think you'd be surprised at how many people within the industry, but also externally, other business owners are happy to help you. You've just got to know what questions to ask and ask for that help. But I think just jump in and do it. I definitely wouldn't hesitate, or I recommend it to everyone, really.
And when you look back to starting the company, anything you did that if you had the time again, you'd do differently?
I think some of the things I did initially, I didn't even realize that they were working well. So some of the things I did was I set the geographical range for the business to be quite tight. So I was working from Toowong and I was only going to operate within a 15-kilometer radius. And at the time, that was purely because I was doing everything. So I was leasing, like all the property management processes, new business. So I physically did not have time to go further than that. That actually helped me when it came to sell the business because it was a tight rent roll within a close proximity, which is what majority of buyers want. I think the other thing is to realize that you aren't good at everything. There was a lot of things that I really struggled with. Like I was trying to do MYOB courses, zero course, like I was trying to learn as much as possible and you just can't do everything. So it actually was really exhausting to the point where I nearly got out of it a few times because I just thought I can't keep doing these sort of hours and it was really draining at the beginning. So I think knowing where your strengths lie and then hire for those weaknesses. And I think just really back yourself. So like you said before, being an employee, and obviously if you're good at what you do, you're earning good money, it can be quite scary to all of a sudden come into an office and you've got zero emails coming in and you've got nothing to, like, you know, you've got to really generate that business. So I joined networking groups. I really picked up the phone. I rang people. I asked for lots of coffee meetings. I was literally trying to have a coffee meeting a day. Like not only was I starting from scratch with a business name that nobody knew, but I was trying to say, you know, come to me, like this is what I can offer, where I didn't really have any backing or results as yet.
Yeah, got it. And so you sold Rental Results after 8 years, but I'm interested in tapping into your advice and knowledge on that journey. I mean, you started obviously just with yourself and then you started to build out a team and you started to build out management and reputation. Just walk us through the journey of those 8 years. What really worked well for you? And when you look back, you think to yourself, well, maybe that was not as good as it should have been.
Yeah. I mean, I'd obviously never hired anybody. I think starting my first employee was just someone I used to do CrossFit, and it was a girl from the gym who hadn't worked for 12 years. But she had a really good attitude and loved real estate. So I guess I was training someone who was only able to work school hours. And so I think looking back, I think if you can align yourself, and ideally if I had had a partner at the beginning that perhaps like a business partner that perhaps was property management focused or brought other skills to the business? Because essentially when that was one of the reasons that I sold the business is because I was having a child and we realized that something had to give and I couldn't find someone to come in and take over the business that I was happy with to run the office. So I think if you had someone that was also had buy-in, that would have been a different scenario.
Yeah, got it. And during those 8 years, you would have obviously tapped into the knowledge of a lot of people and you alluded to that. Can you just talk about a couple of people, a couple of individuals, if you're happy to do that, that their wisdom was absolute gold? Just share with us who those people might have been and what was so brilliant about the coaching and the mentorship that they gave you?
I mean, obviously I had a great foundation working at Pro Rentals with Andrew Reese and James Chalmers. I started there when I was 18. I just remember some of the things they used to say was, you know, make hay while the sun shines. And it just sort of instilled this really strong work ethic in us where the whole team at Pro Rentals, like they were the first there in the morning before any other offices were sort of even like any other team members or staff were turning up to the offices in the surrounding buildings. We were like the last to leave. We worked really hard. And I guess, yeah, Andrew, I still view him as a mentor to this day. Like he's exceptional and obviously has created another great business within Spectre Real Estate and moved on again. So yeah, I think obviously Andrew, another person was Dale Beaumont. I was a member of Business Blueprint, which we spoke about the other day for 4 years. So that was another great, like I guess the people that do Business Blueprint are also, I think, like you've got a common denominator in business where we've all got the same sort of concerns or issues that we're working out. So systems, processes, people. So there are a lot of synergies within once you have a business across the board. So that was really great to be able to talk to a lot of other people within Dale's network to really support each other because it can be quite lonely. I was a member of the RERQ the entire time and obviously have, yeah, great respect for the RERQ and what they provide as well. And there was a few other people. So like Shannon Davies, when he used to work at Image Property, he probably doesn't even realize, but he said to me very early on, like, keep going, like it does get easier. And that was at a point where I was like, this is just so hard. I literally am doing everything. And I didn't know, I'd actually just got an office space and I didn't know whether I'd even be able to afford the rent on the office space. But I thought, oh, we'll give it a go. And I also was 29. I had just become single and I had two mortgages and I'd gone from a really good income to sort of nothing. I was living off a redundancy pay from my Pro Rentals day. So it was a bit of a risk to jump into it.
And despite all of this, you found time to write a book.
Yes, 2018.
So why did you decide to write a book? And I've never done it. What's the experience like?
I did that through a program called the Key Person of Influence. Dent is the other, that's the company that runs it. So Daniel Priestley, that was a 12-month program. Also lots of other different businesses surrounding you. You have a like accountability group and you are supported by others in that group. It's essentially a marketing tool. And it was really, it opened a lot of doors. So it got me onto the Property Couch podcast, which was an amazing opportunity. It also opened doors to speak to a lot of other people that perhaps weren't aware of, A, who Rental Results was, who I was. It is hard when you're up against a lot of franchises where that's a brand that the public are familiar with. So you're really trying to get your brand out there, who you are, why you're different. And the book was just another way to promote that and really try and reinforce what we do differently. And I think the whole reason I was in business was never to get huge. My focus was purely on providing a really great level of service. So we got to the point at one stage where we didn't want to grow anymore, but we still had clients coming to us. So obviously we don't want to go backwards, but we ended up putting our fees up because we wanted to be able to offer a really good service. And for us, if we were continually growing at, you know, 15, 20 a month, we just couldn't give the service that we wanted to. So we had to slow that down somehow. And finding amazing people, like I was lucky with the team I had. Over the years, you do have some employees that you probably regret hiring, but there were a lot of really good ones that I had, which
strengthened our business. I think it was the culture as well that we had within the team.
So just on that, so when you work for a big corporate, and I've spent most of my career working for big corporates, you can get away with turning a blind eye to an underperformer or to someone who culturally doesn't fit. But I guess when you're running a small business as you were, you just can't carry anyone. Was there ever a time where you needed to make a really hard call? And how difficult was it for you to actually make that call?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think in a corporation, I think in a small business, it's very obvious to everyone within the team as to who's actually performing and who's not. So you only have to sort of pop your head out and you can hear every conversation in a small business, whereas a larger company, yeah, you can definitely get away with more. So I think in terms of your question, there were definitely some people where I had to let go over that time. It was really hard. So I had to seek HR advice, and we definitely had some HR issues over that period. And it's just one of those things you learn from. So I think if a HR issue comes up, you really need to resolve it or hit the nail on the head straight away. And so there were times when I look back and I think, well, I actually let that go too long. You learn, you definitely learn. And I think next time I wouldn't do that. But yeah, I kind of relied on consultants, and like one of my good friends is a HR employer and or employment lawyer. And I think trying to get as much information from them as possible, but ultimately as the business owner, the decision lies with you, and it can be really, really a tricky situation.
Yeah. So at your prime, how many people did you employ?
So there was 10 of us at the peak. So not everyone worked from the office.
Yeah. When you're employing 10 people, you're not going to have a full-time HR person.
No.
So you would outsource that. So would Business Blueprint be able, would that be a network that you were able to tap into to support you on that approach?
It was more B&I, my business networking group. So yeah, I was a member of them, and that was all local businesses, and they had different people within that team that I reached out to for support and asked and engaged as for help.
Yeah, got it. So two things that really stand out for me with your approach and two areas that I admire greatly. One is you've always been a big supporter of social media. So you would very, very regularly post 3 or 4 minute videos on important information for homeowners or landlords or just the great Australian public. And, you know, you'd put a lot of energy and time into that. So I'd like to delve into that, if I may, Lauren. But also the second thing that I noticed about the way you operate, you're very inquisitive with technology. So I know you'll go back to school to learn about this or that or the other. So I'm interested in the advice that you would give to would-be entrepreneurs who are looking to set up their own business, firstly on the social media front, and secondly on being curious and inquisitive about new things.
Yeah. Okay. Great question. So I think essentially to build a brand in this day and age, you have to be online. So you have to have a LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. You have to have a social media presence for people to be aware of you. So I did a lot of educational marketing, which is essentially me speaking to the camera for the audience, which was essentially our landlords or tenants, trying to become, I guess, the expert within your industry and build credibility. So not only did we do, I did for 3 years, I think it was nearly every week, I did videos, we did blogs, we entered every award we could think of. So it was just really making sure that that brand awareness was continually evolving. That's sort of essentially where the book came in. I was on podcasts. And I think, yeah, you have to have a digital presence for any business. But especially in real estate, when it's a saturated market, you as a person are your own brand. So getting in front of the audience is really important. And you want to be, if I know as searching how to test my hot water system or how to check my faulty hot water system, I wanted to be the person that popped up on YouTube for that particular account, whether it's me speaking about it or whether it's me interviewing a plumber asking that question. I wanted to be the one who came up in that search.
And what advice would you give people who are just uncomfortable behind camera, because I'm astounded at how many people in real estate, and you always think that people in real estate are extroverts and they're good with people and they like to be a bit of a showman, but I'm astounded at how many people are actually really uncomfortable with the stuff that you were doing every single week for 3 years to build up that brand. What advice would you give those people?
I'm one of those people. So I definitely wasn't comfortable. And if you look back, I actually hired a professional videographer. I actually did my first video at the regatta at Toowong. So I searched for the best location I could possibly find. I spent thousands on a video. And I look back and I was so nervous and uncomfortable. Like, it was ridiculous. And it actually sounded terrible. So I think the more you practice, the better it gets. There's lots of apps on your phone that you can download, which are teleprompters. Because I used to spend all this time trying to memorize this script, which literally sounded ridiculous because it just sounded like I was reading and I was really nervous in front of the camera. So I think it's got to be authentic. It's got to feel natural. And if you have a teleprompter, just get comfortable in front of it. And it just sounds like you're talking as opposed to reading something. But practice makes perfect. So I just think keep doing it until you feel comfortable.
Yeah, good advice. And what about technology? Because I mean, I'm kind of guessing when you were running your business, you'd be bombarded with prop techs wanting to talk to you about a new solution, a new problem solver. And you always appeared to me as someone who gave people time, driven by your curiosity to find out what was going on. So what's your thoughts and comments around that?
There's always amazing things coming up or evolving within the industry. Even yesterday, I was looking at inspection software that had an AI tool built into it. And there's so much happening and evolving, which is really exciting for the industry. When I owned the business, I was always drawing that line between, do we need it? How's it going to affect our bottom line? So I guess I was quite stingy in terms of what we actually implemented into the business or not, because profit was also a focus the entire time. And I had to weigh up, is that tool actually just really cool to have, or is it actually going to save us time or really impress our clients and provide that wow factor? So it had to really enhance what we're doing. So I guess, yeah, like you said, I am always learning different things. I think I'm doing two courses at the moment, so a certificate and a diploma in interior design, and there's lots going on. And yeah, I'm also doing like an AI course as well. So yeah, I think there's lots and lots of things happening in the industry, and you just need to stay on top of what's going on. But you also need to just work out what's going to suit your business as well as to whether it's going to be the right fit, because every subscription you add costs money. So
yeah, no, absolutely. So after 8 years, you sold Rental Results to Longview, I think, if my memory serves me right. That was the beginning of 2023. Sale, was that a relief, or was it packed with emotion, and did it feel like giving away a child to someone else to look after? Tell me a little bit about that.
I think whenever you're selling a business, it's definitely an emotional journey. So I think from everyone I've spoken to who's been through this, you make the decision to sell, and I guess you have reasons as to why. So some people are retiring. For me, I was having a baby, so we made that call that it fitted best with our family. But it definitely is an emotional journey. That was essentially my first baby, the business, and I put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into it. I know a lot of the clients, majority friends, family, our own properties are in there. So I think it's just hard to let go. And I think you've just got to really keep reminding yourself that operationally you no longer have a say in how things are run, which is a hard pill to swallow because you've run it a certain way for so long. And I think that's probably the hardest part of it all, is that you no longer own the business, so you don't run it anymore.
And so what now for you, Lauren? Because you're no longer at Longview. Obviously, there was a period of transition that's now finished. So what's on the horizon?
Yeah, I mean, I will always keep my real estate license. I feel like I'll always be involved in real estate in some capacity. I've got a couple of conferences coming up next year, so I'm looking forward to those. I guess I'm doing my interior design. My husband has a building and construction business, so I'll be working with him as well in that. But yeah, I'm not sure. I've had a couple of people wanting to talk about being on boards in real estate, so I don't know at this point in time. It's very early days. It's only been a week since I've left Longview, so I'm just kind of like open to opportunities and seeing what comes next. But I think once real estate's in your blood, it's very hard to just walk away completely. Yeah. So
yeah,
we'll see.
And what advice, because let's be honest with you, Lauren, the real estate industry, and there's some amazing individuals doing some amazing work to change mm-hmm. this, but it's still an industry that is dominated by men. It's an industry where many of the leaders are males. You're a great example of a female who has come into the business at a young age. You've launched your own business. You've had a great 8-year journey. You sold the business. And obviously, it was a good business that you sold. So financially, that was a good move for you. For those young females who are listening to this podcast, who want to give real estate a real crack, what advice would you give them?
I think just back yourself. And I think stay in your own lane. I always just sort of really was focused on exactly what I was trying to achieve, which was delivering a great level of service to our clients. And I think just stay focused. If you come up and you look around too much at what everyone else is doing or what other businesses are focusing on, it just confuses you. And I think if you're staying in your lane, you're focusing on your goals. I mean, that's something with Dale Beaumont and his business blueprint is you set 90-day goals. So you had action plans for every 90 days. You had 12 months ahead of what goals you wrote a vision for how. And when I look back at the visions I wrote, you know, when I started the business 3-6 years later, they all came true. So I think just really staying focused and being clear on what you actually want, and don't worry about who's doing what down the road or what others are offering. Just really know what your offering is and be true to that.
Yeah, excellent. I've got two final questions, Lauren. Great having you on the show today. One is around changes to legislation, new rules and regulations around real estate. Obviously, that's something that you're very close to. You mentioned in the introduction that you've always been a very proactive member of the Real Estate Institute of Queensland. What should real estate business owners, particularly in Queensland, be aware of? What do they need to be looking out for on the back of the changes that have been that are coming?
I guess the ones that have just rolled out on the 30th September, there's two in particular. So that is around water charges. So we can't charge, or tenants don't have an obligation to pay for any water charges unless we've invoiced them within a 4-week period. So sometimes we had landlords sort of building up those water charges, and then towards the end of the tenancy going, oh, I forgot to send these through to your office. Here's 12 months worth of water charges. So that's no longer allowed as of the 30th of September. And then the other thing was in relation to the lease break fee. So we've seen a lot of tenants who have been buying properties, and that lease break fee used to just be 1 week's rent plus GST. So that's all changed now. So it's really sort of on a tiered structure based on how long is left of the tenancy and things like that. So that's probably the most significant changes that have just happened. But yeah, it's constant at the moment. I feel like there's a lot of changes happening in the legislation. It's just making sure that as an agency, you're staying abreast of exactly what's going on, and your team are getting a lot of training around these changes so that they can roll those out.
Excellent. And final question, obviously you were part of the Digital Live Bike Ride in 2020. You cycled with me and a bunch of others across hot, steamy Thailand. There's a lot of riders who have signed up for next year's ride feeling a little bit nervous. What advice would you give them? And what did you learn about yourself through that experience?
Absolutely loved it. Would highly recommend it to anyone who is considering doing it. I think, is it sold out now?
Sold out for next year, yeah.
Sold out, yeah. But it was exceptional. So you have really great people around you. So everyone works as a team. Everyone's really supportive of each other. I think it's not a race. There's going to be some natural riders in there. I certainly wasn't one of those, but there's going to be people that are riders and they're quite fast. And I think for everyone else, you take it as it comes. So I bought a bike when I signed up, and so I'm not a bike rider. First time I rode it, I fell off it. So, and even I remember when we first arrived in Thailand and we got on the hire bikes, the guys are like, no, you've got to push your seat up. You're going to injure yourself. Like, you've got to go. So I remember that being quite daunting. But Yeah, that was exceptional. And I think you want to do a bit of training beforehand and you want to have a certain level of fitness. And obviously the more bike riding and rides you can do beforehand is excellent, but don't feel overwhelmed by it because everyone helps you. As you know, there's short bursts and you definitely make it through. So yeah, I highly recommend that experience. And I can't wait to eventually do it again once the kids are older. I'd love to bring them on in. And it's such a nice charity too. Like once you arrive at home hug at the end, like obviously that's why you're riding. So I take my hat off to you for running it. So,
well, Lauren, thank you for joining the show today and really appreciate your wisdom and your knowledge. And good luck with whatever is next. And congratulations on a great career. And you're only 40.
Thanks very much, Steve.
Thank you, Lauren.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Elevate podcast with thanks to Connect Now. To stay in touch with all things Elite Agent, sign up for our daily newsletter, The Brief, at eliteagent.com/subscribe.